This Christmas, it's all about the music, and the Bugle has all the jams. Richard Greaser and Rod Palmer have been dominating the Wave Lake Top 40 this year, and now you can give your loved ones a taste of the action. Full market ballads such as Orange Pilled Cowboys by Rod Palmer. And Marty Says This Time Is Different by Richard Greaser. Groundbreaking experimental sound. And the most subversive narratives on the radio today. But if you don't, you will likely lose. In a society whose chief virtue is to comply, it's always dangerous to choose to defy. Bugle makes something for everybody. We can build the citadels when we reach our destination. But Dennis Porter is our only hope for hyper-Bitcoinization. Share Bugle music with your friends and family on Wavelake and Spotify to give them access to the whole collection. On the 4th of July, 1776, non-compliant individuals had a fix.
This holiday season, give your loved ones the gift of good tidings and great joy. Give them the peace and joy of knowing Bitcoin has already won by introducing them to The Bugle. The Bugle's Bull Market Bitcoin Podcast and massive breaking credential journalism will give your loved ones the information and perspective they need to succeed in Trump's Orange America. The Bugle will prepare them for being able to afford taxes, thinking Lynn Alden is hot, how to start their own Bitcoin podcast, and much more. Make sure they know to stream Sats to the Bugle on Fountain FM, Bugle.news, and Bitcoin_Bugle on Twitter. And don't forget to check out Richard Greaser and Rod Palmer's exclusive original music on Wavelake, available on Android and iOS. The Bugle wishes you and your group chats a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Orange New Year.
I would like to welcome you to this very special edition of the Bugle Weekly. We have officially entered Christmas season, right at the beginning of the bull market, and one thing that is clear is that nothing stops this train. You will be getting NGU for Christmas. Your wildest dreams will come true. All of this has been made possible because individuals like you, all over the world, have been listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts every week and boosting podcasters on Fountain. The world never stood a chance of becoming hyper-Bitcoinized without podcast listeners leading the charge. Thank you for your service to humanity, and please enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the Bitcoin Bugle. This weekend at Thanksgiving, it was nothing short of a victory lap. We have, you know, great recap of the Thanksgiving headquarters had this year, just reveling in the glory and being able to report that Bitcoin has won. And Thanksgiving being over, that means it is time for Christmas. Christmas memes, Christmas music, Christmas Bugle. It's going to be an exciting bull market Christmas. The best time to spend Bitcoin, the best time for commercial ad spend. It is, you know, it's great for memes. It's great for podcasts. It's great for podcasters. It's great for us. How are you feeling bullish this Christmas season, Richard? And how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, my Thanksgiving was great. I would kind of liken it, my experience at Thanksgiving dinner with the family, is like, you know, I probably felt very similar to the war veterans coming home from World War II. You know, they were just conquesting, waging war in Europe and in Japan. They come home as heroes, victorious, you know, people celebrating, women are, you know, freaking out because there weren't any men around. They're all horny and they just want to kiss the conquering hero, and get that iconic picture, in the history yeah. books. That's how I felt coming home. Like, you know, everybody wanted to ask me questions about Bitcoin podcasts and about Bitcoin products. You know, I was the family hero.
It was spectacular. Yeah, I contrast that with Thanksgiving a couple of years ago. It was like being the troops coming home from the war in Vietnam, getting off the bus, you know, city councilmen, the people from your church just spitting in your face, calling you a baby killer, just wishing that you had not come home that Thanksgiving because you had led them into this Bitcoin rabbit hole, this jury, and they had purchased the top. They liquidated their 401ks, their IRAs, their compliant retirement accounts. They took a 25% penalty and then they put it into Bitcoin on BlockFi or something. And they either lost it in the bankruptcy or they just lost their value of their retirement when FTX collapsed and you had to go home and you were just the enemy. But that this time you were the hero. We were the heroes. They wanted to know which, you know, like you said, which hardware wallet should they use? Which exchange should they buy from? Like, where should they get? Which podcast should they listen to? You know, which t-shirts are the coolest? Which miner should they purchase? You know, they live in California. They're selling the Bitcoin. They're willing to pay thousands of dollars for the latest Antminer to mine where it's, you know, 55 cents per kilowatt hour energy costs. They don't give a shit. And it's all because of you. It's all because of Bitcoin. It was awesome. The food was delicious this year as well. What was your favorite dish at Thanksgiving? Pumpkin pie?
Pumpkin pie is actually generally my favorite. I love pumpkin pie. You know, one of the things that you can do, it's a life hack, is, you know, a few days after Thanksgiving, you can go to Costco and get pumpkin pie on sale as much as you want for very, very cheap.
How many pumpkin pies do you think had, you know, a Bitcoin logo drawn in whipped cream on top of them at Thanksgiving dinner this year?
I think zero, but I would estimate next Thanksgiving we'd be probably close to 100%. But there is some danger that there'll probably be some shitcoin logos on the pumpkin pie because these people, while they understand that Bitcoin has won, they haven't, you know, actually done the proof of work to show that they understand it. They're not listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week. They don't know that shit coins aren't cool, that was like cool back in 2017, but now it's not. But yeah, I mean, I think you bring up an incredible point, which is the contrast between this Thanksgiving and last Thanksgiving. Like last Thanksgiving, you know, we were going to, you know, family dinners. And, you know, people would look at us with scorn because we were into Bitcoin. They're like, you know, you're killing the environment. Comments showing that they'd never read any of Dennis Porter's tweets before about, the positive benefits of Bitcoin mining to balancing the grid and fixing energy.
A year ago, people thought that Bitcoin podcasts were contributing to the energy problems that AI and Bitcoin itself, like they associated Bitcoin podcasting with a drain on the local energy supply and the utilities. Mm-hmm. So they thought that we were literally, you know, Bitcoin podcasters were creating inflation and ruining their communities. But now they realize that the Bitcoin podcasters are actually necessary for grid stability. And it, speaking of Dennis Porter, what do you think it was like going home to the Porter household this Thanksgiving?
I bet they were so excited. I would imagine it was celebratory, kind of like, you know, if you just won like an Olympic gold medal and you return home to your family, you know, these people that had invested their whole lives in your sporting careers, you know, not knowing if there was going to be any result that came from it or any reward that came from it, and all of a sudden you come back a world champion. I'm sure Dennis's parents were so proud of him that they probably felt ashamed that if they had ever doubted him. There's probably apologies given. And I imagine they probably sat around the dinner table, you know, kind of ranking their favorite breaking tweets of his over the last few years. And
I think there was probably some sort of like parade when he came back home from the airport riding in his Uber. I mean, just imagine the sight there. I think Dennis is from Portland, so it's like a cloudy, rainy day, and in comes an Uber, and all the people in the community they're there welcoming him home for Thanksgiving. And just as he gets out of his Uber, right, he like just orange pilled his Uber driver, and like the guy is like waving his lighting wallet to the crowd as he drives away. And it's like, damn, like what an awesome thing to have him back in the community after he's been out orange pilling the country.
100%. Like, you know, that image of the conquering hero returning home is just so beautiful, you know, to picture. And
they probably have, like, there's probably people like Bitcoiners from Portland who like have brought out their grandfather, their father, who's just like they have Bitcoin derangement syndrome, and they just nothing they say, no podcast can orange pill them. They're out there at the parade and like, Dennis, please orange pill my father. It's his only chance. And Dennis Porter, boom, 5 minutes, orange pills his father. A terminal Bitcoin derangement syndrome case completely turned around. Like that's a huge win for that community.
Yeah. I mean, there's been all these religious, you know, heroes throughout history, you know, that are able to work, you know, miracles of sorts. And so you think of, you know, Jesus, you know, being the OG in this regard, you know, out there preaching in the wilderness, to whoever will listen, and people take their family members with ailments, you know, just to see him in the hope that he'll heal them. And I think Dennis Porter, you know, is while, you know, nobody can ever follow up Jesus or compete with Jesus, Dennis Porter, you know, is probably the closest in history. Like I what I foresee for his future, I think he is a part of leading this Billy Graham like revival, you know, like so for so long, you know, status, government justifiers have been so hyper focused on, you know, things that don't matter. You know, they're worried about, like, you know, race, they're worried about you know, right wing, you know, culture stuff, and all on and someone comes along in the form of Dennis Porter, just like completely shattering the narrative, being bipartisan, saying all that cultural bullshit doesn't matter. What matters is Bitcoin. You should have the right to mine. You should have the right to self-custody. And, you know, we're going to take all these pedos, you know, sitting in political office and, you know, completely reprogram them into being Bitcoin bulls. Right. And, you know,
we are going to realign the pedophiles, the blackmail artists, the spooks, the feds. We're going to realign all their incentives. And we're going to use Bitcoin to fix these maladjustments, these thermodynamically unsound habits in the government. And it's going to realign their incentives and fix this all with Bitcoin and focus. You know, like Elon Musk is coming in. They're trimming the fat. They're realigning everybody's. You know, you sell your chair. They're going to sell all the chairs in the government. They're going to limit everybody's, you know, uniforms. They get one pair of pants. Like we're running a lean, mean machine, and this is why this is this new era that we're going into.
Yeah, I mean, imagine like how much history you could change if you had a time machine and had the ability to send Dennis Porter back in time. So like you could send him to the White House when Bill Clinton was in office meeting with Jeffrey Epstein. And you know, as Epstein leaves, Dennis can enter the Oval Office and begin orange pilling. And you know, if Bill Clinton had decided, like, you know, Bitcoin wasn't even in existence back then, but, you know, if Bill Clinton had understood sound money, you know, he probably would have stopped diddling kids. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Exactly. You don't have time to diddle kids. If you're listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts on top of being the president of the United States, that's just too many. That's just too many hours of focus. You don't have time to focus on diddling kids.
Well, I think like part of the reason why a lot of these, you know, politicians diddle kids is because they just lack any belief in anything of consequence, you know, or true value. And like, you know, something like Bitcoin comes along and it completely,
they lose the value. Yeah. They lose the ability to value time. I think they think that they're able to purchase their freedom through, you know, through their corruption in politics, but that's not true. Like it causes them to ruin other people's lives because they forget that other people's time is valuable.
Yeah. And they don't even value their own because there's so many more like productive and meaningful things that they could do. And I think like part of the reason why, you know, they really struggle, you know, to get out of this paradigm of understanding what they're doing is unhelpful or wrong is because, they're just kind of repeating the behavior that was taught to them. You know, they were probably diddled when they were kids. And so they're like, this is just a part of growing up. You know what I mean? It's part of being a person of power. And like people like Dennis Porter are redefining that. They're showing people that it's cool not to diddle kids anymore.
Yeah. If a politician doesn't value his own time, he cannot possibly value your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're in some pretty exciting times, to say the least. You know, the holiday season, it's just like great. It's a great time to be with family. You know, one of the things that I want to talk about is, you know, now that all your family members are taking Bitcoin seriously for the first time, there are some exceptional ways to stack sats by going home and sharing promo codes with them.
Huge opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Bitcoin related companies should be sponsoring people as they go home to their family dinner. So like, you know, you should take ad breaks in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner to show your favorite hardware wallet or, you know, the hardware wallet that sponsors you, to shill, you know, whatever, you know, KYC exchange that is sponsoring you, to share your promo code to let them know they can get free Bitcoin for using your promo code. Make it, you know, because like I know like a lot of people really struggle to want to travel because like travel can be expensive, but you can recoup all the costs if you shill hard enough around the dinner table.
Oh yeah, exactly. You know? So the one way you can do it, you can stack these sponsorships. If you are, you know, taking a sponsorship from a hardware wallet, that doesn't mean you can't also take a sponsorship and an affiliate code from, you know, a Bitcoin only exchange. But you can also do, you know, one, two, something like, that, you know, that has gift certificates and gift deals like Fold app. You can add and can stack all these sponsorships. And then, if you're smart, you can recommend all the Bitcoin podcasts when they ask you for recommendations that sponsor all of those companies that are sponsoring you. So you may not convince them to get the sponsor hardware wallet after one conversation or one gift over Christmas. But if you give them your favorite podcast to listen to and they keep hearing the advertisement, they'll eventually remember to use that gift certificate you got them, that promo code you got them for a gift. And they'll get that 21 tethers USDT of free Bitcoin and sell you.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's really important about the bull market is exploiting all the, you know, the ways to stack sats, all the ways to make money, all the sponsorship opportunities. Because, like, you know, one of the challenges in the bear market is that people don't want to consume Bitcoin podcasts at all. You know, the bear market is the time to consume it's the most important time to consume Bitcoin podcasts.
Right.
For whatever reason, yeah. You know, people right, get excited about podcasts when the price starts ripping.
In the beginning of the bull market, you're going to have those friends and family members who are really, really in, they really are starting to get orange pilled like you. And they are going to exploit every opportunity. They're going to hit you up and say, hey, how many affiliate codes do you have? I will go and sign up for all of these exchanges and buy all of these hardware wallets. So we can get the free 21 USDT, promo payment. And you only had a few months before they realized that the cost to those free promos was compliance, KYC. And so their emails, you know, some company is going to get hacked, you know, some company, some exchange is going to go bankrupt, and, you know, it's all going to get out. Their information is all these databases. Now, you want to make sure that you get all of those payments before people start to realize this, because they're not going to trust you to sign up for all these affiliate codes. If you waste time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I think for the plebs, there's ways to exploit this. If you have a big family, maybe you can get a Bitcoin company to send you a bunch of hats. Like, you know, each hat costs like $20. And you can justify, you know, if you get all your family members to sign up, they can earn that $20 back off of charging them fees on whatever their service is pretty quick. So you take a picture with everybody, with your grandma, with your Uncle John, wearing like Swan Bitcoin hats, for example. And then they also, you know, you get them to sponsor the dinner. So they send you like $250 to put forward towards the dinner. And then you tweet about it with your whole family wearing the hats. It's a win-win. I mean, there's just like endless opportunities to be an influencer and to monetize it in the bull market. And I don't think it should, you know, stop it. At Twitter, I think people should influence in every moment of their waking hours. Like how can I slap a sponsor on this event? How can I turn this event into a Bitcoin Pockets? Maybe you get some microphones and you record Thanksgiving dinner and you publish it as a podcast. You say, you know, orange pilling Thanksgiving dinner. And you can sit there and you can answer all like the beginner questions. And so your dinner could be sponsored by a company or multiple companies. You could tweet about it. You could record it as a podcast, and then you could also run at sponsors on the Thanksgiving dinner conversation podcast. And all of that is monetizable.
Yeah. Yeah. And as always, and you know, if Bitcoin in general, the early bird gets the worm. So if you are going to be an influencer and you want to get on this wave, you have to start thinking about your branding and your logo, et cetera. If, you know, for example, if you're from Florida, you should know that, you know, the Twitter handle Florida HODL or Florida, you know, Tallahassee HODL, you know, these different Florida specific Bitcoin meme names, they're already taken. You're going to have to come up with your own Bitcoin Twitter handle. And you know, it can be a little bit chaotic. I think luckily Podco for the Real Plebs is going to be putting together, kind of a resource document to help people exploit this opportunity before them. It'll include like a QR code that you can give to your family member and friends. They can scan it and they can get a list of every single, you know, promo code or affiliate deal that you have a sponsorship contract with, and you can, you know, they can access all of those. You can give that to your local community. It'll be able to tell you how to create a fountain podcast, you know, everything you need, because this is, you know, the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting into Christmas season and, it's being combined with the bull market. I mean, how perfect could these two things come together?
Right, like Satoshi programmed Bitcoin to feed off the energy of the birth of Christ and the new, you know, the new zeitgeist that it, it represents in history. And he coincided that with the bull market. The bull market is, you know, it's a new cycle. It's a new paradigm. And it's just a beautiful synergy that it creates.
Yeah. I mean, it's really an incredible time. And, I think everybody should be excited. I think everybody should be, you know, very, you know, grateful for the position that we're in right now. And I think it's important to remember why, you know, why are we in this position? We're in this position because there were a bunch of people that decided to podcast no matter what. They did the work every week, even if nobody was listening to them.
Right. And I think this is a long-winded way of us talking about how you can make money at Christmas, because it's important to be able to save money to buy Christmas presents. And you know, this is a great time to give your family amazing Bitcoin Christmas presents. Do you have any suggestions for what you could get a family member? What kind of Bitcoin Christmas present you can get them?
Well, I think it kind of depends on their level of compliance. You know what I mean? Because you've got compliant family members, you've got non-compliant family members, and you kind of have to cater to what they got going on. So, like, you're not gonna be able to gift your non-compliant, non-KYC Monero using cousin, like a Swan private membership for a year. You know what I mean? Or a, you know, copy of Anthony Pompliano's new book. For somebody like that, you might want to stick to something like, you know, like a Ungovernable Misfits hoodie that encourages non-compliance.
Right. Exactly. We talked about even like Bitcoin gift certificates to like get a free coin join from a coin mixer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder when they're going to have those on BitRefill or Fold or the Bitcoin company.
Yeah. Hopefully they get them on there in the next few weeks.
Yeah. I guess one thing I wanted to mention real quick, we can circle back to this topic, but I want to make sure we don't forget about it, is one thing that was really special that happened Thanksgiving was that the courts ruled that the Tornado Cash prosecution was illegal. I mean, that's a win for, you know, privacy and in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
Usage.
It's a huge, huge win. And I think a great way to commemorate that, celebrate that would be, you know, if you live in a state that doesn't have bitten, you know, a lot of taxes on cigarettes, you buy a card with cigarettes and you take it and you fly home to New York or California or some liberal city that taxes cigarettes, and you give, you know, your cousin or your uncle the gift of non-KYC peer-to-peer cigarettes. I mean, that's a huge gift. They'll appreciate the hell out of that. Mm-hmm. You can, like we said, it's like you should be able to give somebody a promo code or a gift certificate code, and they should go to a coin join and get a free coin join. And you could say, like, hey, thanks. This is a gift for your privacy, because there's nothing wrong with doing this. Even the government agrees. And they'll be like, hell yeah.
I wonder, it'd be really interesting to research the logistic of what's possible with non-KYC cigarettes. So, like, how many cartons fit on a pallet? That's an important question, you know, because you could, if you got a big family, you're going to want to move this shit in bulk.
Good point.
Because, like, you know, whenever you do things in bulk, it gets the shipping cost down. Because you should be concerned about essentially, like, the cost per carton in shipping.
Right. You know, this also made me think about, we kind of brushed over Thanksgiving stories. Because you talk about, like, we talk about getting gifts for somebody in your family, and it kind of depends on their level of compliance. It also kind of depends on their level of compliance, like how they how they handled the Bitcoin is already won, and you know, and kind of celebrating, congratulating you when you went home this week. Did you have any interesting conversations? Did anybody, any skeptics who took a long time to concede, did they, you know, have any interesting stories on what changed their mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the interesting things is that more and more family members, and it's not just like this, you know, the experiences that I had, you know, there were people telling me that they were talking to like their parents about the Bugle. And that they knew who we are. And so I think it's just like the general acceptance and the cultural relevancy that Bitcoin has is becoming, you know, extraordinarily apparent. Like, you know, that, you know, these people that just have never in the past, they have refused to listen to Bitcoin podcasts, cracking Lynn Alden's hot jokes. You know, like one of my, you know, uncles, a little bit older, he, was talking about like how he got off his Viagra, prescription and was having sex with his wife, you know, because of Dennis Porter. Like it's like all of these things are happening, and it's absolutely crazy to see, you know, because I think like a lot of people, you know, we knew that Bitcoin would win, we just didn't know what the timeline it would win, and we've spent so much time prophesying that Bitcoin would win to actually see it winning in real time is
right,
is pretty wild. And it's
yeah, I had a cousin, my cousin-in-law, actually. And, he was, you know, probably of everybody on my wife's side of the family, he was probably considered the guy who was the smartest, had listened to the most podcasts, understood finance and economics the most, who could kind of counter my, my message about Bitcoin and why Bitcoin had won. And every time we got together, you know, at holiday gatherings, he would explain like how the government would never allow a currency like Bitcoin to succeed. Everybody that was kind of skeptical about listening to 40 Hours of Bitcoin podcast on my advice would use that as like, okay, the government would never allow this. But even he came to Thanksgiving this week, this week, and he said, I did not realize how many, you know, how Bitcoin was going to allow so many people to afford to pay taxes. And now that the government knows that Bitcoin is going to help people pay their taxes, they are going to let Bitcoin win. In fact, they already have. And so that was like the turning point where the whole family realized that I was right, because, you know, Bitcoin was so good for helping people pay taxes. It was just all the stars aligned. It really proves that this time is different.
Well, I know this is something that a lot of people are concerned about, which is, you know, how do you get more people to pay taxes? Like, you know, a lot of people, their entire political philosophy centers around this idea of getting billionaires, for example, to pay more taxes. That's like one of their single issues that they vote on. And when you can show people that Bitcoin helps people afford to pay taxes, they're going to be very, very excited, because they believe that, for whatever reason, that's like one of the primary.
Right. There's a lot of guys out there, a lot of older gentlemen who have been looking at their millennial and their Gen Z sons, and they, especially the ones that have gotten into Bitcoin and crypto or NFTs. And they thought, God damn it, like, this, my son is a degenerate. He's never going to be a taxpayer. He's never going to be, you know, a taxpaying, just law-abiding citizen. I failed, you know, he's practically gone woke. But now they're realizing that Bitcoin is going to be what turns their degenerate sons into taxpayers. And it really gives older people, it gives boomers kind of a sense of hope for the future, that the kids are going to be all right.
Yeah. What do you think the Joe Biden Thanksgiving was like, you know, Like, was Biden feeling hopeful that Hunter would become a good, effective taxpayer?
I think that was really, you know, it seems like Jill Biden has almost had like this secret desire, like he was going to vote for Trump. He wanted Trump to win, and he's happy that Trump won. And I think it's clear. I think that he knows that Trump is going to probably pardon Hunter. That Hunter is probably going to kind of, he has a very similar path as RFK Jr. And I think through Bitcoin, fixing RFK Jr., it can fix Hunter Biden as well. Mm-hmm. And I think there was also a lot of jokes at the Biden Thanksgiving about, you know, after Joe eats some turkey, he's going to feel sleepy extra early today.
And not only is he going to feel sleepy, but he can sleep soundly, you know, knowing that the future is going to be better because of
exactly.
Bitcoin.
Exactly. Sleepy Joe Biden is now kind of a compliment. It's like he sleeps easy at night knowing that he couldn't have broken America because Bitcoin had already fixed it.
Yeah, I mean, you would think he'd probably be pretty nervous leaving office right now. You know, he knows the world is in a precarious spot, and that there's a delicate balance of firing missiles constantly, but like not escalating into a global war, full out war, and knowing that he doesn't necessarily have to rely on you know, an individual politician to protect that order, but that he can really remember the fact, you know, that he can lean on an immutable public ledger instead of a human being, instead of a person.
Right.
I mean, I just like, I don't know. So like, I think like the Thanksgiving has been pretty positive for quite a few people. Who are the biggest losers this Thanksgiving?
Well, Bitcoiners for Harris, crypto for Harris, they're taking a big L. Their families are going to kind of probably look at them. Why people look at like mainstream media journalists coming home for Thanksgiving. Like, I can't believe you sold us this story. It was bullshit. So they're big losers. The people who just refused to be, you know, Bitcoin supporters in your family, the people who were really outspoken against you when you tried to orange pill them at previous gatherings, they're eating a lot of crow right now. People who just didn't think that Dennis Porter could make as much progress in orange pilling the government as he did. You know, Dennis Porter's critics are probably the biggest losers of all.
Yeah. I bet Elizabeth Warren felt pretty uncomfortable having to face her family this Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, she's definitely, Elizabeth Warren has nephews, nieces, cousins who they're node runners. And it sickens them to see that, you know, their aunt out there criminalizing or demonizing.
Yeah, I bet Peter Schiff had a pretty, I think Peter Schiff, you know, one of the reasons why he capitulated was because he was nervous about Thanksgiving, like having to face his family that had been listening to Bitcoin podcasts and hearing him make all the incorrect calls.
Absolutely.
Maybe Cramer, too.
Yeah, Tim Cramer probably took a lot of heat for all of his family members who were excited for $100,000 USDT Bitcoin, but you know, thanks a lot, Jim. Crew, you know, now I have to wait till Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that was really fascinating to me, so like one of the big stories over the past week was Justin Sun's banana. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that, you know.
So I don't really understand like the full context of what was going on with the banana, but I would assume it probably has something to do with the famous Mark Cuban line where he preferred bananas over Bitcoin.
Justin Sun thinks that he thinks that his Tron, his Tether layer one, is superior to Bitcoin. So he bought the very famously expensive quote unquote piece of art although I doubt Nadex would agree with that. It's just a banana duct taped to a white wall. And Justin Sun said, instead of spending $6 million USDT on Bitcoin, I'd rather buy this banana. Just like Mark Cuban said. So he bought it and he ate it as a protest to Bitcoin.
Yeah. I would say Justin Sun's probably a pretty big loser this Thanksgiving as a result of that decision. I think it was a tactical mistake. Like, you know, if you're going to be like these influencers, the shitcoin influencers, they need to understand that the Bitcoin podcasters are the ones controlling and dominating culture. They're the ones controlling and dominating the future direction of the world and the country. You know, and if they're going to go out on a limb and declare something's art, you know, they need to consult people that actually know what art is on a Bitcoin standard and stop operating like they're on a fiat standard. So they need to consult people like Fractal and Crypt, Max from Ungovernable Misfits, Madex. You know, we're talking about the Pablo Picassos, the Michelangelos of this point in history. You know, the people that are ushering art on a Bitcoin standard, getting off of this, you know, fiat modern art that Saifedean talks about, are also making major tactical decisions here. They're stepping on landmines, and they're getting egg on their face in the process.
Absolutely. But that we talked about, we kind of covered this, some of the best non-compliant P2P gifts, best non-KYC Christmas gifts. What about gifts for the, you know, the most compliant members of your family? I would have to say it would be a tie between, you know, a gift certificate to AngerWatch so they could get insurance on their MicroStrategy shares, or potentially like a fold out so they could you know, spend all their Bitcoin at Target, you know, something for the non, you know, the compliant aunt in your family.
I think a ledger would be a good gift. You could get them set up on Ledger Connect so that the government can subpoena your private keys if needed. I mean, that's like, you know, really mixing compliance and self-custody together, which is, I think, is very revolutionary. Because, you know, self-custody has historically been applauded as being non-compliant or borderline non-compliant, or giving you the ability to be non-compliant. You want to control your keys because it's the best practice, but you also want to be compliant at the same time. The Ledger Connect is probably the ideal way to do that this year.
Right. For what you want to be compliant with the law and compliant with Bitcoin podcast advice. And this is how you can do both.
Yeah. It's nobody's going to call you a beta cuck for not holding your own keys when you go to the meetup. And yeah, I mean, it really is a hack. I mean, there's all these hacks that you can do. If you listen to enough podcasts, if you hear enough advertisements about the different products that are out there, you'll figure out the, you know, these very unique and kind of revolutionary strategies to either comply or to not comply.
You can learn the tricks that even the most non-compliant influencers use to have, you know, a good user experience. You know, it's a good segue into like our story that we wanted to kind of end the episode with, that NVK is suing Santa Claus. So NVK, of course, he runs the cold card company CoinKite. You know, so he's going on podcasts. He talks very non-compliant talk. But, you know, being an influencer and being, you know, the CEO of a company is a tightrope of compliance that you have to walk there. And, you know, Cold Card gets away with that by making sure that they're protected for so that they can always afford to pay their taxes, by having intellectual property. And the elves in the North Pole have been building cold cards for Christmas gifts this year at a record number. And so that's why NVK is suing them. I mean, what do you think about this whole situation?
Well, I find it kind of appalling. I just think it's unreasonable to sue Santa Claus. You know what I mean? Like, you cannot,
right?
You cannot sue people trying. I don't know what his deal is. Maybe he had a bone to pick with Santa Claus. Like, Santa Claus delivered him coal last year.
Right.
Like, you know, for, I know Cold Card kind of got some heat because they were presenting on Twitter as if the project was open source when it wasn't. Like, there was some controversy over that. So they said their Twitter account said that they were open source, or suggested. It wasn't like direct. It was kind of roundabout, suggesting that they were open source. And what they were essentially saying was that their code was viewable, but they weren't willing to admit, for optics reasons, that they weren't actually open source, meaning that, you know, the code was free for people to copy.
It was open source in the way that, you know, most of the plebs understand open source, not in the way that lawyers understand open source. So it was, you know, very, very misleading, because technically, yeah, in the spirit, it was, you know, it's viewable. It is, you can verify, don't have to trust it. But, yeah, if you try to use it yourself sovereignly, you could be sued like Santa Claus is.
Yeah. So maybe he had a vendetta against Santa Claus, because Santa Claus brought him a stocking full of coal, because of
maybe NVK, it's political. Maybe he doesn't believe that Santa Claus can be sovereign.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't like, yeah, maybe he doesn't believe that Santa Claus could be sovereign. That's really interesting.
But Santa Claus, if anybody should be sovereign, it should be Santa Claus. You shouldn't get coal because the government, tells, you know, Santa Claus that you made some naughty memes. And that you should get coal for that. Santa Claus should be able to give Christmas presents to people regardless of what the state thinks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what court you would sue Santa Claus in. You know what I mean? Like, what?
It'd have to be England. That's where you sue Satoshi.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if Peter McCormick said that Santa Claus is a fraud, that's where he would have to be sued, in England.
Yeah. Interesting.
But Santa Claus deserves to be sovereign. I mean, Santa Claus is sovereign. I don't think he doesn't need Dennis Porter to protect him. Although, Dennis Porter, you know, maybe some countries would benefit if Dennis Porter was advocating for the sovereignty of Santa Claus along with Nickel.
Yeah, I think, this is really interesting. I think, you know, Santa Claus has gone in the past. Santa Claus has distributed products of all sorts of companies, you know, breaking intellectual property laws. And I think people have given Santa Claus a pass in that regard for hundreds of years. And this is the first case, right, where somebody is suing Santa over intellectual property. Right. And it's just
Apple.
I don't know.
Apple didn't sue Santa Claus when he made iPhones and iPads for everybody. But NVK thinks that he's important enough to sue Santa Claus for making cold cards. I think that is that deserves an ego check, I think, as well.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to ask ourselves, like, is this the future that we want to live? Is this really what living on a Bitcoin standard means? Is that people are suing Santa Claus? And I think the answer is no. I don't think that's, like, really the cypherpunk future that, you know, a lot of us really, you know, signed up for and have been podcasting about for years.
The only reason I could think that somebody would have this much of a chip on their shoulder over Santa Claus is if, like, you know, Santa Claus orange-pilled his wife or something one Christmas, and, he, you know, he's got a vendetta out about it.
Yeah. I will say, you know, if MVK wanted to explain why he's suing Santa Claus to us, we could definitely host him on one of these Wednesday night podcasts that we started doing. We should definitely talk about that before we get in the Fountain Booth. So,
sure.
The other night we interviewed Sly Goomba for the very first Beagle Behind the Podcast episode. And it was great. It was Thanksgiving special leading into the night. It was the night before Thanksgiving that recorded. And if you get the chance, it's in the same feed as this episode. So it's just the last episode that was published. You can go back and listen to Goomba sharing some wisdom for us. And
yeah, I think it's the Behind the Podcast series is a way for us to interact with and get to know the community and to elevate the intellectual Silk Road, as well as get to know the non-compliant orange pilling story of some of the people in the Bugleverse.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really enjoyed talking to Mr. Goomba. And I look forward to it. It's it's going to be a pretty special segment that we're going to be doing, and I think we'll be pulling some big guests. I mean, I'd love to host Lynn Alden. I'm not sure what she thinks of us. We haven't had any communication or responses from her, but I think she knows what we think of her. You know what I mean? She knows that we think she's hot.
And of course, I mean, I don't know if Sydney Sweeney has an opinion about us, but I think she's hot as well. So, you know, Lynn Alden is busy writing newsletters about, you know, inflation and the dollar strength chart and U.S. Treasury convexity. She doesn't have time to respond to, you know, gossip in the Twitter sphere about her track, how hot she is. So I understand that. But if she listens, I just wanted to know, I think she's hot.
Yeah. I'd like to have a conversation with her someday on the podcast about her being hot.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of tips that our female listeners would, you know, appreciate. As far as like how can you be more like Lynn Alden?
I would like to ask Lynn Alden if she thinks Shinobi is hot.
That would be very interesting to get her take on that. You know, that's something that, you know, we got pushed into by our female listeners. So, you know, we had like a harem harassing us this week to start talking about how hot Shinobi is. And I was kind of shocked by it, you know, because like as a how do you say it in woke, cisgender male?
Yeah, cisgender male. Yeah, it means you're a hot straight male.
Yeah, as a cisgender cigarette smoking male, I've never thought about Shinobi's hotness, but you know, some of our female listeners and the women in the newsroom really wanted to push that as like a more inclusive way to include a male and not just focus on female attractiveness.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting, but yeah, I'd be curious to know Lynn Alden's opinion, because like if like anybody has a valid opinion on the subject, it'd be one of the hottest women in Bitcoin. You know what I mean?
Hands down. So yeah, I would love to know her opinion. Getting into opinions that I care much less about. Our first boost is from Miss Hogglebot. 20,000 zats. She said, you can't chase me away, Rod. You know you're itching for round two. Well, not to be pedantic, but it would actually be round seven. I think you were blackout for rounds two through six. But No, I'm not itching for round seven, but I appreciate your stats, your best.
I don't know. If she got six rounds out of you, she could probably get a seven.
Nobody, no fat chick gets a seventh round out of Rod Palmer.
I can't believe she keeps on boosting us. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with her. What's wrong with you, Miss Hollow Knight? Why do you keep on boosting us? Rod keeps on being mean to you. She doesn't even seem like she's into me, so that can't be her angle.
Well, if you're trying to find a way to monetize leading on fat chicks who want to be your girlfriend because you have Bitcoin, start a Bitcoin podcast and you can make money off of them.
Well, anyways, thank you for the boost. I'll keep on keeping you. Or keep on taking your cigarette money sending us. Next boost is from good friend We All Eat for 10,021 sats. Says LMFAO. You can actually understand this one.
Yeah.
This might be a groundbreaking first. The first ever boost from We All Eat that is coherent. LMFAO, Eskimo Brothers, y'all fucking crack me up.
Yeah, I bet he has a lot of Eskimo brothers.
I imagine We All Eat does. You know, I feel like
I bet a lot of them were at Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if you're sleeping with Miss Hoddlenot, I can't imagine how many Eskimo brothers you have.
Let us know if you think that you have more Eskimo brothers in your own family than We All Eat. I'm betting most of our listeners do not.
Well, you know, Miss Hoddlenot could provide a pretty serious service to the industry, which is popping the cherries of many of these Bitcoiners. Because, like, quite a few Bitcoiners are virgins, you know, and, like, the best way to not become a virgin, you know, if it's a struggle for you for some reason, is to find buddy hoppers.
You want to practice. You want to practice. Your first Bitcoin purchase, you know, is probably not going to be on BISC. It's pretty complicated. It's a lot of pressure. You probably just want to go buy some sats on Coinbase or River or Swan. Some sats you don't care that much about. Just to practice. And then when you start to get to the really valuable transactions, the pressure will be off, you know, so you can bang somebody like Miss Hoddlenot. And then when you find a girl who really likes your Bitcoin podcast because it's you, not just because she loves Bitcoin podcasters and is a Bitcoin podcaster groupie, you'll be prepared for that interaction.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I haven't thought about it because it's been so long, but you know, that first time having sex with somebody can feel pretty nerve wracking, you know? And so if you get a little bit of practice with somebody that's not that important to you, like Miss Hoddlenot, right, you're going to be more, you know, it's like something that they teach people going in the military, you know, it's like they put them in these difficult training circumstances so that they're prepared for combat.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, it's when you practice with somebody, like Hot Miss Hoddlenot, so so you're ready when you meet a girl who's hot, outside of the PodCon classes.
Yeah. I mean, those PodCon classes can be pretty dangerous. And this is part of the reason why I think we're so passionate about promoting Lynn Alden, and telling the world how hot she is because people, they need to recalibrate their beauty standards, you know what I mean? And like they've been so accustomed to having low standards to being influenced by the PodCon classes that they kind of, you know, miss out on what is the most important part of being attractive, which is, you know, having two ears and knowing macro.
Right. Right.
And so, yeah, I think we're doing a big service on this one. And yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely not a Lynn Alden for everybody. You know what I mean? Like she's like definitely like what I would call a unicorn. You know what I mean? She's one of a kind. And she's already taken. She's not on the market. She's married. So,
Totally.
Yeah.
Our next one was from Open Mike, 7,777 sats, calling all non-compliant musicians near Austin, Texas. Check out Sats by Southwest, 2-day value for value music event next month. Panel discussions on indie music and value for value at Bitcoin Commons on December 15th, followed by concert hosted by Adam Curry at Anton's Nightclub on December 16th. Watch the live stream on Tinster.io if you aren't willing to go short Bitcoin with your travel fund. Info at satsbysw.com. www.satsbysw.com. So that was, I just got paid to read an ad apparently in our found base. So, didn't think of that as a way to advertise a Bitcoin podcast, but that one was a pretty good one actually.
I actually appreciate Open Mike doing that because that's something that I had forgotten and would have liked to have covered in the show. So, you know, we're big proponents of this value for value, you know, ecosystem and movement. And it was all started by Adam Curry. You know, he really is a pioneer. He has had a massive influence on the world. And so it's cool to see him continuing to try and do so. That's an event that I feel some FOMO and wish that I could attend, but I probably won't be able to, but if you don't know what Toonster is like a streaming platform, kind of like, Twitch with maybe some Noster, you know, features in it that, you can watch live performances and stream sats for, in a value for value way. And it's kind of a cool project, that I believe Open Mike's behind. I would like to, you know, utilize Toonster at some point in the future, when we start performing our music. But yeah, anyways, appreciate the boost. I plan to be on that stream watching it. And boosting it if I can remember whenever it is.
Yeah, and honestly, that is a great example of if you want to leave us a fountain boost and be a part of the podcast, and you actually have something interesting and valuable to share, and not just flex about how many more times you've banged Miss Hamura than I have. That's all. Then you can also boost us to appear with cool information like that.
Totally. It's not a guarantee that we're gonna, you know, really like support whatever you're boosting, but I don't know. Orange Mart has been doing that for a while, boosting our show. Big fans of the Orange Mart. I can't find time to go run around the Orange Mart like I like to, unfortunately, but. I feel like there's some stuff that we could do.
Well, we talked with Sly Goomba about it, and one of the reasons that we're all buying Bitcoin, at least that you and I are buying Bitcoin, and that a lot of people should buy Bitcoin, is to be able to afford to play video games. And if I had the amount of time to play Orange Mart that I needed, I might have to be on there. So I'm hoping that it comes in hyper-Bitcoinization this year or next year. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be people retiring off their MicroStrategy dividends that will have a lot of time to be playing Orange Mart here in the future. The next boost is for FOMO Chronic, whose boost has in the past said B-. Well, thank you for the boost. I mean, that's pretty exciting. B- is that's how you get degrees. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That was the grade for our last episode. I'll bring that home on a report card to show my mom.
Yeah, I mean, my mom was always very proud of me when I got B- in school. You know, I had the...
I got a cigarette for every B- or better that I got in school.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually a straight B- student in school. I put a lot of effort into my education and was very successful with it.
B- students. think that Lindholm is hot.
100%.
The next one is from our, the next two are from our one of our best buddies, Pies. I was able to listen to Bitcoin podcasts when I was in prison. I would have come out, I'm a motherfucking genius. Let's fucking go. And the other one is the cheers measure with the cigarette, also for Iron Sats. I think that that's kind of proof there that if you were listening to Bitcoin podcasts in prison, you would have had a big head start on where you're at in your journey now. And I think we should give that opportunity to all other criminals like you, Pies.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something that'd be really cool for Bitcoiners to start doing. Is there's all these charities that are out there where people go and talk to people in prison about stuff. So, like, you know, a lot of it is like religious people going in and talking to prisoners, trying to teach them about Jesus. And you know, a lot of people in prison get converted to Christianity while they're in there. Part of the reason is because they're bored. You know what I mean? Like they don't have access to fountain in prison, and so they have to figure out something to do with their time. And they can either like sit around playing spades all day, you know, or they could go to a religious, you know, service in the prison. And I think if Bitcoiners go in there and start orange pilling prisoners, there's going to be like a whole new wave of you know, hardcore Bitcoiners that come out of it. So it might be a strategy to consider. And I think this is part of what Ross has been doing.
These people are going to be debanked. So it'd be a great way for them to enter back into society and be able to, you know, once they get out of prison, be able to boost those podcasts that have helped them so much while they were in prison. They need, you know, they'll need a bank account for that.
Well, you can teach them about low time preference, and it'll probably lower the rate of recidivism, you know, pretty substantially. Yeah, thank you for the boost, Pies. Thank you, everybody, for the boost. Appreciate boosting the show. I'm excited for Bull Market Bugle. I think the next prolonged period is going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, we're just going to be able to take over. We're going to really, like, as the world gets orange-pilled, you know, we're going to be able to really stand against a lot of these established institutions that are trying to integrate Bitcoin into their stacks. And we're just going to be so far ahead. We're going to be so much more thermodynamically sound. Like, I guarantee you the reporters at the New York Times are not willing to listen to as many Bitcoin podcasts as us. They're going to be starting from way behind. They're going to attempt to, you know,
they're going to be using AI tools. They're going to be listening on, you know, 2.5x speed. They're going to try to catch up. But just, you know, think about it like mining. Like, if you wanted to start and mine a chain with more proof of work to outcompete the current blockchain, the current time chain, you just don't have the time and energy necessary to do it. And if you've listened to thousands of hours of Bitcoin podcasts, there is going to be, you know, Stanford graduates, Oxford graduates, politicians, you know, some of the richest people in the world who have nothing but time to listen to Bitcoin podcasts to try to, you know, compete with you. It's impossible. It's really impossible. So, but only if you keep listening to Bitcoin podcasts 40 hours per week. Can you keep up with the madness that is about to flood the culture in the next, you know, year and a half?
A good question. Yeah. It's time to work. I mean, you know, the bear market was the time to build. The bull market is time to implement everything that you built.
Which is still building. So it's always time to build. Never stop building. Never stop listening to Bitcoin podcasts. Never stop listening to the Bugle.
100%. Yeah, I'm trying to think. So, other housekeeping things before we wrap the show. So, I'm writing a book called How to Live a Credentialed Life. I'm 2 chapters in. Pretty excited about that. I'll hopefully get it done in the next couple months. I'm shooting for to kind of blast through it pretty quickly. We got our music going. Rod, you put out some bangers pretty recently. We're working on a Christmas album. I think that's pretty exciting. Bitcoin Christmas music is going to be the very first attempt at it, I think, that I know of. I haven't heard any before.
Yeah, it's going to be big. I think Christmas music, Bitcoin Christmas music is going to, it's going to be cyclical, just like Bitcoin. This will be the first year. It'll be the bull market Bitcoin Christmas music. You know, next year, something similar, but then you'll have bear market Bitcoin Christmas music. We're definitely starting in the bull.
I think something to consider is, you know, if you're looking for a good Christmas present, for a Bugle listener, the Comply clothing line is definitely a good option. If you want to make a statement at Christmas dinner, you know, sitting down with a big picture of Michael Saylor on your back with the word Comply will really get the message across. You know, you might convince some people to buy spot Bitcoin instead of the ETF or MicroStrategy stock. I think that's a good service to provide.
It will show that Arbor wallet. Yeah, that's all we got. Thanks for listening, and keep boosting us.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Giddy up, partner, the rodeo's in town. 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts, it's going down. Everyone thinks we're lucky, but we know the truth. They said we weren't cowboys until they saw the podcast booths. Try to tune out all the bullshit. This will all be over soon. Once you hear the horn, next stop is the moon. We're digital cowboys. We've got one horse portfolios. The bull market is our digital orange pill. To buy the dip. All the endless days and sleepless nights. Stay focused, this thing's about to ignite. Holster your gun, the outlaws rule the night. Those shit coiners aren't worth the hype. Try to tune out all the bullshit. This will all be over soon. Once you hear the horn, next stop is the moon. We're digital cowboys. We've got one horse portfolios. The bull market is our digital orange pill rodeo. Oh, the bull will try to buck you. So never lose your grip. Your chance to buy the dip. When the crowd erupts at Thanksgiving dinner, they'll all know the Bitcoin podcaster is the winner. We're digital cowboys. To buy the dip.